Well, good morning, church. My name's Caleb, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Desert Springs, and I am stoked out of my mind right now because this is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month is our all-ages worship gatherings, and so we're so glad to have all different age groups represented here today serving us and ministering to us. Can we just say thanks for those who stepped up to serve as host and on our band. You guys have done such a great job. And for us as a church, we believe that that God is woven together in this local congregation, a bunch of misfits from all different backgrounds, different walks of life, and different ages. And so we love ministering to one another across the different generations. I'm also excited because today we're kicking off a new sermon series called Teach Us to Pray. And this sermon series is going to guide us in learning from and seeing examples of different prayers in the scripture and how that will shape our imagination around prayer today. It's especially timely because if you follow along the historic church calendar, this is like an ancient rhythm of the church, we're entering into a season called Lent, which starts on Wednesday, and then that goes all the way up until the week leading up to Easter. Lent is a season of intentional reflection, prayer, meditation, and so we're going to go through this Lenten season with this series on our minds as we think about different prayers in the Bible. Also wanted to let you know that on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, that's coming up this week, we're going to be sending out an email with some resources for you if you'd like to engage in daily prayer or if you'd like to follow along in a devotional. We're going to be sending those out. If you'd like to receive that, you can sign up for our email newsletter. The information's in your handout, or you can just go to our website, dsbc.church. Sign up for those emails there. Today, we're looking at probably, like, maybe one of the most famous prayers. Have you guys ever heard, like the Our Father, or there's another word for it, like the somebody's prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The reason they call it the Lord's Prayer most of the time is because there's this scene in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, where Jesus is doing this Sermon on the Mount thing where he's preaching, and there's this bit inside the Sermon on the Mount that he says, y'all should pray like this. And so many of the disciples and people who are learning from Jesus were like, how should we pray, Jesus? There's all these, you know, these big loud prayers, there's these long prayers, there's these short prayers, there's these rhythm prayers. What kind of prayer should we pray, Jesus? And Jesus says, y'all should pray like this. Now, this is how it reads in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. You can follow along. I'd invite you to follow along if you have a Bible, or the text is also available in your handout. If you're joining us online, we're using the the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today, but any version you've got is just fine. And so this is what Jesus says when he's saying, y'all should pray like this. You ready? We're clapping for preschool tax credit, but we ain't got no time for the word of the Lord. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Jesus said, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then later church tradition added this line, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so with that prayer, that Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, it is a way to imagine God, yourself, and yourself operating in God's world. So check this out, just real quick. Notice how the prayer starts. How does it start? It starts with who we're praying to, right? So you start the Our Father with Our Father, who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name is like the old school way to say it, but it's your name be honored as holy. So the first thing we start with is, who are we praying to? We're praying to God the Father, who's where? In heaven. And then we're going to talk about in that prayer our posture towards God the Father. And our posture is, we honor you. See it? So it's our Father who's in heaven, your name be honored as holy. So we honor you. It's a place of humility. We're not here to honor me in this prayer. We're here to honor you. You guys tracking? So first it sets who we're praying to and then our posture towards who we're praying to. The second bit, so our Father who's in heaven, your name be honored as holy. What's the next bit? It's what now? Your kingdom. Thank you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. Now check this out. That is a way to imagine my future. Lord, I want your kingdom to reign over all. Now this, Jesus is praying this as he's living under the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. So they're watching Roman soldiers walk through and, you know, maintain order. And they're sometimes the Romans would come in and take stuff, and they were definitely doing like taxation stuff. And Jesus says, even though those of us who are followers, those of us who are living under the Roman Empire now, when we see that kingdom, what we're praying for is that ultimately your kingdom would come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's one of the ways that you could view that prayer. Lord, help me to live in light of your kingdom, even though I live in Rome. Tracking? Now, I don't live in Rome, so I might say, Lord, help me to live your kingdom right here in Phoenix as it is in heaven. And so it's a way to imagine myself operating inside of God's world, that I can live his kingdom no matter what kingdom I live in. So your kingdom come, your will be done on, everybody stomp your feet. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the next shift goes into how I live the kingdom now. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the next part? You guys tell me. It's right there. Okay, so one of the ways that I can imagine living the kingdom now is that today, who's going to provide for the meal that I eat? I'm saying, Lord, whatever I need today, I'm asking you to provide it. This is kind of riffing on a theme that you see in the book of Exodus with like the manna that would come every day for the people of God. You guys ever heard of like the book of Exodus? The Moses dude? Yeah, you guys have heard that. Good. It's good stuff. Also notice this. It's give us. Give us our daily bread. One of the ways it seems like throughout scripture that God gives us our bread is sometimes he gives some of us two loaves and then invites us to share. This would be like the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus tells the disciples, you go feed them. I'm going to bless you and you go bless everybody else. And there was enough bread to go around. So give us this day our daily bread. And then our posture, not only towards our needs, but towards one another. And then what's that next part after the bread thing? Forgive who? Us. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we, this is the part we don't like, as we forgive those who owe us something or those who have trespassed against us or those who have hurt us. So, Lord, we're going to ask your forgiveness, and just as you've forgiven us, we're going to seek to forgive others. So it's our posture not only towards the daily bread, what's my posture towards what I need, but also my posture towards the people that God puts in my life. And then there's how I am going to walk in the world. How many of y'all know that sometimes decisions are hard? How many of y'all know that sometimes there's two or three options and we get confused on which option is the best option? Some of us have been around longer than others. So I'm gonna ask the seasoned people in the room to respond to this. Does it ever get like easier? So we need a wisdom to be able to know how am I going to walk in the world according to God's kingdom. And that's why you end the prayer with, and lead us. So part of the Lord's prayer is, Lord, I have to make tons of decisions today, and I am asking that you would lead us not into temptation, but that you would deliver us from evil. And so here, once again, that deliverance motif is riffing on the idea that I might get caught up in some stuff that's actually not good for me. Maybe I'm full of rage at somebody, or my heart is cold towards somebody, or I'm confused and I don't even know myself, and I can be tempted to go into spaces or places, and I say, Lord, I'm gonna walk today in light of your kingdom. Help me to imagine you leading me not into temptation, but that you are delivering me from evil. And so in that prayer, we have an invitation to imagine my day in light of the kingdom come. And so I want to invite us for our time together this morning to imagine well. Now, to give us a bit of an overview of the Sermon on the Mount and the prayer, we're going to turn it over to the folks from Bible Project who have this bit of an explainer video. Take a look at this.
Prayer is based on this belief that we can somehow talk with the God of the universe, which is pretty mysterious. Where do you even start?
Well, at the very center of a collection of Jesus' teachings called the Sermon on the Mount, he taught his followers a simple prayer to adopt as their own. The prayer has two short halves, each with three requests. The first half focuses on God's purposes in the world, and then the second half addresses our concerns in day-to-day life.
So it's a short prayer.
It is. But this little prayer contains a whole new way to look at everything in the world.
Jesus begins the prayer this way. Our Father who is in the skies. So God lives in the sky?
Well, in the Bible, the skies or the heavens are a way of imagining God's universal power and presence that are above all things. In God's realm, God rules as the king whose will and purpose are always done.
But Jesus doesn't refer to God as king.
No, Jesus calls God our Father.
That's a bold thing to claim about the God of the universe.
It is, but a key claim in the Bible is that God has appointed humans as representatives and beloved children to embody God's wisdom and rule in the world.
But the story of the Bible is about humanity's disregard for this calling, how we make a mess of things.
And so the prayer continues. May your name be recognized as holy.
Now holiness, that's a fancy religious word.
Sure. In the Bible, holy signifies God's one-of-a-kind status. God is the source of all reality and the author of life, and it's this God that calls the family of Israel out from among the nations and then attaches his holy name to them, setting them apart as holy representatives to all the other nations.
But just like all of humanity, they mess up this calling.
And that led to Israel's defeat and subjugation to many empires, bringing dishonor on God's holy name. But Israel's prophets, like Ezekiel, said that one day God would restore the holiness of his name among the nations.
How?
Well, by raising up a new representative who will restore God's rule over Israel and the world, so everyone can see how holy and good God really is. And that's who Jesus claimed to be when he went around announcing the arrival of God's kingdom.
And that makes sense of the next lines of the prayer. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. As it is in the skies, so also on the land.
Jesus taught his followers that when we love God and our neighbor, when we treat others with God's generosity and justice, we are entering God's kingdom. And so this is a prayer for the reunion of heaven and earth, and we are invited to participate.
Okay, that's the first half of the prayer, focused on loving God and seeking his will.
The second half shifts to the challenges of daily life as we pray for God's kingdom to come.
Give us today our daily bread. That's as basic as it gets, asking God to provide food.
Yeah, Jesus is using an image from Israel's story when they journeyed through the wilderness and God provided just enough bread each day.
That's a tough place to be, not knowing where your next meal will come from.
And remember, Jesus' audience was filled with poor people struggling to get by during the Roman occupation. And so he invites them to join their ancestors in the wilderness, trusting God's provision each and every day.
Wow, okay. And the prayer continues. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us.
Jesus made forgiveness central to his movement. He announced that God was forgiving Israel and all humanity for its long history of violence and greed. And so he calls his followers to do the same, to forgive those who hurt us.
But we can't go around forgiving everyone. I mean, won't evil spread unchecked? Won't people take advantage of you?
Well, for Jesus, the problem is that our desire for revenge just keeps the cycle of pain going. He taught that forgiveness begins with naming the wrongdoing, but then not seeking vengeance.
So that doesn't mean becoming best friends with the person who wronged you.
No, but it does mean releasing my right to get totally even with them, and even learning to pray for their well-being instead.
That kind of forgiveness requires radical trust in God.
Yes, Jesus invites us to see that forgiveness is like breathing. In order to truly receive and take in God's forgiveness, you have to be in the habit of giving it out. The two work together as one.
Finally, Jesus prays, "Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one." So wait, God might test us?
Well, remember the biblical story, how God appoints humans as his representatives in ruling the world? That opportunity presents them with a choice.
Will they partner with God and rule by his wisdom?
But along with every choice, there's a voice whispering that we could do things our own way, by our own wisdom. And that voice twists the test into a trap and forces us to decide whose voice will we trust.
So Jesus invites us to ask if we can be spared from tests altogether. Like, can I just live a normal life, please?
But Jesus also knows that even normal life is full of choices that will force us to trust God or something else. And so when we find ourselves in a trial or a test, Jesus urges us to ask for protection from the evil one's lies.
And with that, the oldest form of the prayer comes to an end. Short and powerful.
But check this out. This is Jesus' own prayer that he prayed himself.
Really?
Yeah, the night before his execution, Jesus went to a garden to pray. And while he didn't want to die, he called out to my Father, saying, "Let your will be done, not mine."
Oh, that is this prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done.
Jesus had been praying this way for so long that when his greatest test came, his arrest and execution, these were the words that carried him through.
And Jesus was delivered from evil when God raised him from the dead.
Right. In fact, it was through his act of self-giving love that God's forgiveness and heavenly kingdom came to earth. This is how God's holy name was restored.
So this prayer that Jesus taught his followers, it's a way to make Jesus' story our story.
The prayer invites us to daily trust God and to love and forgive each other so we can participate in the story of heaven and earth becoming one.
And so how do you imagine walking the way of the kingdom, walking with Jesus even today? What I want to invite us into now is a practice that we're going to learn from a young man from our Adventure Kids. Braden, come on up here. Can we say welcome to Braden? What up?
Hello.
What's your name?
Braden.
Crushing it so far. So you were sharing with me and some other folks about this type of prayer that y'all do in Adventure Kids and the journey, but like you do on your own. What's it called?
It's called imaginative prayer.
Imaginative prayer? All right, so what is imaginative prayer?
So imaginative prayer is, in my opinion, a really cool way of prayer where you get to be in your own imagination with Jesus, doing what you want, being where you want, and it's a cool way to create memories with him.
Mm-hmm. So it's happening, I'm guessing, in your imagination.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm picking it up. And so how do you, like, do imagination prayer?
You kind of imagine it, let your mind take you into what you want it to be.
Yeah, like you close your eyes.
Yeah.
And then you just start imagining. And how have you experienced imagination prayer?
Well, when I first did it, I really clicked with it, and I've done it countless times since then. And I've really felt my relationship with God and Jesus grow.
So how have you seen God at work in, like, the like in Adventure Kids and stuff, as you guys have done it, imagination prayer?
For me, he has, like, he gives me advice now in times when I need it.
Yeah.
And I sometimes I'll have him tell me what I could have done better in the week.
That's cool. So imagination prayer is something that you can do, like, for a quick few minutes, or it's something that takes a long time?
You can, yeah, do whatever you want it to be.
And I know that, like, in Adventure Kids, sometimes there's just a few minutes where we'll imagine together. And what I hear you saying is it's an invitation to imagine Jesus, like, being with him, talking with him. Maybe, like where would you be in your imagination?
Well, one of my favorite places to be is the beach.
Yeah, that's good. So, like, imagining you're at the beach with Jesus and talking or playing or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a way, I heard you say, it's a way to form memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you take with you. Is there, like, rules to it or something?
I mean, there is a sort of way to do it, but you still get to choose, like, how you want it to play out.
So there's, like, sometimes there's, like, an order or a way somebody could lead it.
Yeah, someone, like, can lead it, or you can do it just by yourself.
Yeah. So, like, could we do it?
Yeah.
All right, what do you guys think? Should we try imagination prayer? Braden, would you lead us in that?
So sure, I'd love
maybe
to.
We'll, like, take a big deep breath, let it out, and then you take it away.
So I invite you all to close your eyes and be calm. And I want you to just be just with you, your mind, and your heart. And I want you to picture a place that you're going to want to be with Jesus. It could be wherever you want. It could be the beach, your house, whatever your heart desires. And I want you to really picture what's around you and picture the scene of what the colors are, what are the objects, what can you maybe hear or smell. Really picture this scene really clearly in your mind. And then I want you to notice Jesus, and I want you to picture what he looks like, because he might not look like your everyday Jesus with the long brown hair and the whitish brown robe. He might look like something different in your imagination. And when you see him, maybe how do you greet him? Maybe you give him a hug, or you fist bump him, or you give him a high five. But I want you to picture that and picture what he says to you and what you say to him. And then I want you to do something with Jesus, whether it's having a conversation with him or maybe playing a game. And let's take a minute to enjoy that moment with Jesus. Now I want you to start wrapping up your time with Jesus and start to say goodbye to him. But just know that Jesus is always there for you and that you can always do this again with him. Now I want you to open your eyes and come back here.
That was really great. Thank you for leading us in that.
You're welcome.
So when are some times that we could do that?
Well, I like doing it maybe before I go to bed, and sometimes when I wake up in the morning. For you adults that press your snooze button on your phone in the morning, maybe you could do a quick imaginative prayer. And sometimes I do it if I'm in trouble or in a time where I'm a little confused. I'll do one imaginative prayer to ask Jesus to help me and give me some advice.
That's cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for leading us in that. Can we say thank you to Braden? You did. Great job. Thanks, man. So I would invite you, as you go about your days, especially during this season of Lent, leading up to Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter, I just invite you, consider each day taking time to pray the Lord's Prayer. Let that be an invitation to imagine time with God, whatever that might look like for you. As we think about and as we imagine individually and together how it is that we're going to walk the way of Jesus, how he's present with us, we might find that we gain some wisdom in the decisions that we are faced with. It may be that we gain some comfort in the times that cause us distress. It may be that we see that our joy is filled up because we know that Jesus is joyful with us. So our hope during this season of Lent is that as you spend time with God, that you would have a sense on your heart of his nearness to you, his delight in you, his love for you. Jesus is nearer to you than you are to your own self, and he calls you his own. So I'm going to ask Pastor Danny to come out, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. And as we conclude, if you'd like prayer this morning, members of our prayer team, after the song, the prayer team will be down here at the front to pray with you. If you're not able to make your way down, that's fine. Just wave your hand at one of our prayer team members, and they would honor the opportunity to visit with you and pray. Pastor Danny?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Church. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.